Welcome to I'm Spiritual Dammit. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me on the phone is author, healer, and matchmaker, Marla Martinson. How are you, Marla?
Hi, Jen.
So I'm holding in my hot little hands here your latest book, The Buddha Made Me Do It, A Field Guide to Enlightenment. And I love this because it's part memoir and part, how-to, which is what a lot of people say about my memoirs as well. You're going through your life, you're bumping along the way, and you find some nuggets of wisdom that help you get through the journey. And along the way, you discover that you're quite the healer, young lady.
Yeah, I love it. I just stumbled upon that and never knew it was on this journey of going to look for that little Buddha that I became a healer.
So let's tell the listeners how that journey happened for you. You know, you're taking every class you can get, you're reading every book you can, everything from channeling mirth and Edgar Allan Poe. I mean, it's just, there's quite a combo platter going on. But when did you know that you had the ability to heal? Because I know at first it was crystals, but, you know, walk us through what happened for you.
Well, it's an interesting journey. So I've always been into the metaphysical and, you know, used to go see Marianne Williamson speak back in the early 90s in Hollywood, and I listened to Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and went to Agape International Spiritual Center. I was always reading O. Florence Scovel Shin, you know, The Game of Life and How to Play It.
Sure.
So I was meditating and trying to manifest and do all this stuff as much as I could. And then I had been an actress / waitress for 20 years. I lived in L.A. and also 7 years in Chicago. And when I came back to L.A. in 2001, my father was dying of terminal cancer. So I was back in L.A. and I ended up becoming a matchmaker because I just couldn't put on a waitress apron one more time. I was 39. I said, I can't be a 40-year-old waitress. It's been 20 years. I have some other skills that I've got to bring out. I know it. I just don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And besides acting, I couldn't make a living. I was making dribbling in some money, but it just wasn't going anywhere. So I was putting it out to the universe and using these little affirmation cards by Louise Hay. Every day I was reading, you know, I turn every experience into an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I say yes to life and life says yes to me. I deserve the best and I accept the best now. I just read these every day. And then I ended up getting into the matchmaking world, and 16 years later, here I am with my own business. I also started writing books. So I was writing, I wrote 2 dating advice books and then a couple of memoirs, Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker and
yes.
Hearts on the Line. And then my friend Julie, my husband and I ended up buying a house in 2011. We'd lived in an apartment in Hollywood for years and we're like, we need to get out of here. The upstairs neighbor, was having sex all night, and the next door neighbor on the other side of the wall was smoking and smoke was seeping through, and there was a schizophrenic woman down the hall that thought I was after her husband and tried to run me down in the parking lot.
Oh,
I'm like, okay, enough of this. We need our own home. So with the recession, that it really worked out for us because we got a great house, but we had to move to the San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So we got this great house, and in the meantime, I was purging, and I was trying to get rid of some things, and I love dropping things off to the Goodwill, and there was this little Buddha statuette, a wooden one that a neighbor had given me, and for some reason, I purged that and gave it away, and I'd seen them all over in different shops. It was one of those popular ones that
sure.
you see everywhere. And then my husband, you know, never had asked about that Buddha, except after, of course, the day after I got rid of it, and he says, hey, Marla, whatever happened to that Buddha that you had? And I said, oh, I don't know, because I knew if I told him I got rid of it, I'd get in trouble. So I said, I don't know, it must be still packed in the garage with some things from the move. And he said, you didn't get rid of it, did you? Because you always get rid of things without asking me. And I said, well, even if I did, it was my Buddha. And he said, no, it wasn't. It was our Buddha. And I said, well, I didn't get rid of it. I'll go find it. So I went in the garage and pretended to look around, and then I got in my car and drove all around town looking for, I said, I'll just replace it. He'll never know.
Right.
So I drove around to all the spiritual hotspots in L.A. and couldn't find one darn Buddha, not the one that I needed to replace. And long the weeks would pass, and he'd still keep asking about it, and I thought, oh my goodness, I better, I'll check one more place. And I Googled a place, found a place called the Imagine Center in Tarzana on Ventura Boulevard. I said, that's the last spiritual place I can find, store, and I went in, and they didn't have any Buddhas, but they did have a flyer that said they gave classes. And the woman there said, oh, please come back and take some of our classes. They're only $15 a class, and they had classes on connecting with your guides, crystal healing, opening your psychic connections, different things like this. And so I called my girlfriend Julie, who is a celebrity ghostwriter who lives a few blocks away from me. We were good friends. She had edited my second book, and that's how we became friends. And she loved all things spiritual, too, which I had just discovered because we were in a book club together, and we were talking about psychics and tarot cards. And so I called Julie. I said, Julie, I couldn't find a Buddha, but I did find a place where we could take some classes. You know, do you want to come? And she said, sure. So we started taking classes at the Imagine Center. It was in October of 2013, and it was cold out and so cozy in there. It was a small room with just about 8 students, and the teacher was a woman called Goddess Tahita. And so we took everything that Tahita taught. We loved it, and we started taking classes all over town. We said, well, let's go here. Let's go to a Hindu bhajan. Let's go to a candle magic class. Let's go to a channeler. And so we started doing all these fun things. And Julie said, Marla, why don't you write a book about what we're doing? Because it's so interesting. So she was the one who gave me the idea to write The Buddha Made Me Do It. In the meantime, there was one more class that I took that Julie didn't have an interest in, and that was crystal healing. Mm-hmm. So I took it and realized I could get certified in it. And so I said, wow, that sounds like fun. And during that class, Tahita said, hey, if anybody wants to add Reiki to what you're doing or whatever, another modality, go ahead. So I said, oh, I better do that. So then I found a Reiki master here and took Reiki, became attuned, and then got some other attunements from like Deborah King. And I took, now I've got Reiki for animals, and I have fifth dimensional quantum healing and Eternal Life Foundation certification for intuitive channeling and all of these things. So that's
your menu has expanded. So now instead of being a waitress, you've got your own services that you offer when people come. And I think it's just so cool because, as you know, now looking back, your husband being curious about that Buddha was what took you where you needed to be to wind up in that place that offered the classes.
Yeah, getting rid of that little knickknack changed my whole life.
Right? That's incredible. And it's funny to me because the way you write about, you know, how you're expanding and you're evolving and you're doing healings, and your husband is exactly like laying on your table voluntarily, although he does eventually. It's kind of neat to watch that journey as it evolved. How are things now with his spiritual mindset?
He loves the healing.
Great.
Although he doesn't believe in it all, he says that it doesn't work long distance, which Reiki does work long distance, but he just can't wrap his mind around that. So he said, that's not true.
Right.
And yeah, and he's been watching that. I learned about Dan, is it the, no, Charlie, the
Charlie
healer.
Charlie Goldsmith, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I listened to your interviews and you told me about the show. So we watched an episode last night, and so I've been recording it, and he thinks it's pretty cool. So he does like the Reiki and the healing, but there's certain other things it's like, don't even mention the word angel because they don't exist, and don't talk about this, and don't leave your talking board out. It's disrespectful. And so he's a little bit, we had a lot of stress over the few years, and mm-hmm. he's mellowing out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because here I am. I've changed over this. We've been together 16 years, so I'm really not exactly the woman he married. So I can understand him freaking out a little bit.
Well, you're evolving, and as they say, like when a chord of music plays in perfect harmony, if one of the notes goes up, all the others in the chord either have to go up so it still sounds good, or they have to go down, but they got to move somewhere. You know, so
right.
that's a good thing if there's some movement at all. And, you know, I just interviewed Suzanne Giesman, who is the former Navy commander turned medium. Okay, so imagine that. And her husband is a retired U.S. Navy captain. And he's kind of like, you know, okay, whatever you got, kiddo. Sure, you know, I believe you. But it's a really cool, she's written 12 books. So maybe your husband would be open to that conversation, because that's not exactly a combination. Former Navy commander turned medium. When you get those people that, you know, used to tell people what to do and hold weapons, talking to dead people, that's really fascinating.
I'll play him that episode. He likes to listen to different things, podcasts with me. He sits down and I give him Reiki and touch his head, and, you know, then he listens. He likes that.
Oh,
so that's our
perfect.
Kind of time together. So that'll be perfect.
That's perfect. But I think it's important that you, when people are in partnerships, that they don't have all the same likes and dislikes. You know, you've got to kind of keep things interesting. And we are in this world to love unconditionally and to grow, right? And so it's just
right.
wonderful how people find each other. And now that brings me to your job as the matchmaker, as you did for so long. Oh, I just heard my Chicago
right.
accent there. I said matchmaker.
Oh, I it still comes out on me, too. Believe me. Yeah, hey.
How you doing?
I'm Marla.
Marla, how's it going? I'm Jen. So is it still something that you can find some joy doing? Because I know... you know, some of them, and I dog-eared this page because it just made me laugh out loud. As you're writing, made me laugh out loud a lot. Hello, Marla. This is an email from a potential client. I am 51-year-old man from Vancouver, Canada. I'm seeking a come-hither, beautiful, sweet vegan or vegetarian that is very spiritual, authentic, adaptable, and an armpit shaver. It's just a preference. A staunch believer and understanderer. And that's not even a word, buddy, but I digress. I know it's not a word, but it should be. And I was wondering, if a man speaks his mind in a forest and no woman hears him, is he still wrong? I mean, this, you can't make this stuff up.
I know.
So are you still finding joy matchmaking?
That's not somebody I would ever consider taking as a client.
Never. No. You have your standards.
It was too good to not put in. It was just hilarious.
Yeah.
I didn't even respond. But yes, I do still make my bread and butter matchmaking, and I have some wonderful clients. When I was working at a Beverly Hills matchmaking firm for 7 years, it was more difficult because I was working for someone else, and the owner would take clients that I didn't think he should be taking on. But sometimes the bigger matchmaking firms, they have a big overhead, employees, offices, advertising, all of this. And so they'll take people. They've got to pay the bills. And luckily, we don't do that. I have two great business partners. We all work from our home office. We keep about 12 to 20 clients at a time, paying clients, which are the men. And if we don't feel that we can match them, if they're too difficult from the get-go, want to change our contract, or too difficult with who they want, we just say, you know, we're not a good fit. So I enjoy it. It can be quite challenging at times, but it's very rewarding. And when you have somebody who gets married and sends you beautiful pictures or has a baby or something, it's great. And I've been able to combine it as well, because sometimes the women that are in my database are being matched up. They'll come for a healing, or I've even had a couple of the men. One guy in New Jersey asked for a long-distance healing. A couple of them came in my studio here in L.A. They were here and had one. And sometimes it's had, I've heard of, I don't even really know what Reiki is, but I think I'll try it. And they come in, and it's nice.
Well, let's talk about that, the ability to remote heal for those who aren't fully wrapping their head around it. I know a lot of people, I've interviewed a lot of people, as have you, who have these gifts, and all they need is the name or their voice on the other line, or just the intent to get connected to that vibration, because time and space is sort of irrelevant, as is location. It's really just about finding each other on the etheric plane, and that might be a lot for people to wrap their head around. But if you sit, I remember when my dad was fighting brain cancer, and he had connected with a Reiki master, and over the phone, he said, okay, just be sitting still from this time to this time, and I'll send the healing. And so my dad would sit in this chair, and he would look at me, and his eyes would widen. I'm like, what is it? He said, I'm feeling heat. I'm feeling heat in my head. And I said, yeah, Dad, I guess the guy just started about 2 minutes ago. It's supposed to go on for another 15 minutes, so hold on to your hat, you know? You could really feel the difference.
I think our dads both died of cancer in 2001.
Exactly.
So, you don't have to be there in the room. So what I do is, for instance, I have a regular client that likes to come here in my studio here and have healings. And I travel a lot. I go to Seattle now a lot because my mom, that's where I grew up. My mom's there, so I've been there every month lately. And I was there last week, and this woman calls me and says, oh, can I come by? I'm so stressed out, and I really need a session. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm in Seattle. I can't do it. And so we hung up, and my friend Robin was sitting with me, and she goes, well, why didn't you offer her distance healing? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what was I thinking? So I texted her. I said, if you want tonight, we can do 30 minutes of distance healing. And she says, okay, great. And so usually I like to print out a picture of the person. I already know what she looks like and stuff, but I like to have their picture and all, but I didn't. So I just used I don't know what I used, a pillow or something, and I just visualized her there, did the work, cleared. I like to work with a pendulum, so I can check the chakras with a pendulum. I could do some healing and pendulum work as well. And so I did the work remotely, and she told me that the next day, she says, I never slept so good. I just slept so great. I feel so relaxed. Another guy that had me do some, I just did a 15-minute remote healing. He told me he felt someone, like he thought it was an angel, touch his shoulder, and he felt someone touching his head. And he said, oh, I felt it, and it was so beautiful. It was so great. I could feel the heat and the energy. So I did those confirmations.
That's so nice.
Which is fantastic.
So since you finished writing The Buddha Made Me Do It, what other nuggets of wisdom have happened to you since that you use in your everyday, if it's not a mantra, maybe just some sort of memory that kind of keeps you going and keeps you on your path?
Well, I using the healing and all the things I've been learning, and I'm like a certification junkie, so I keep taking classes. Now My latest acquisition, Saturday, was a full moon, and my friend Julie and I went to an open house of this woman called Gary, who's a numerologist, and she also sells crystals. So we went by, had a little something to eat and drink, and she had all these crystals laid out for sale. And I had always told myself, I mean, the past like couple of years, no more crystals, I'm not buying anymore, I have so many, don't need them, don't want to spend the money on them. Vowed to my husband I wouldn't spend any more money on crystals. But then I saw it. I saw a crystal skull, and he's probably a couple of pounds. He's as big as my palm and then maybe 3 inches high.
Wow.
And he was sitting there, this quartz crystal with agate, with this hole in the top of his skull with the crystals formed. Oh, my God. And I was like, uh-oh. I picked him up, and then Gary comes over. She says, oh, this guy is powerful. This is amazing. Da, 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 da. So then I just set it down and said, I shouldn't be spending this money, $150.
Right.
And which is a great price because she does wholesale stuff. So then a woman picked him up, and I got so jealous and upset. I was thinking, put it down. That's my crystal.
Right.
My crystal skull. So she put it down, and I picked him up, and I did bring him home. Mm-hmm. I took him home. It was a full moon. I staged him to cleanse him. I put him out under the full moon in the yard for a few hours, brought him back in, programmed him, and programmed him to help me with my spiritual awakening, psychic powers, and manifestation. And then I went on my talking board and asked his name, and it spelled Nigel. Mm-hmm. So that night, and then I meditated with Nigel. That night I went to bed. About 5 or 6 in the morning, I feel my body vibrating really, really strong, which when that happens, it means I'm astral traveling, like leaving the body. So then I find myself among the stars in the sky, and I see through my third eye the letters far away, H-I, like high. Mm. And then I'm back in my body, and then I hear in my ears, in my head, some song. It was like a guy singing a pop song or something, like a country western song or something. I thought, what's going on? How can I hear this? It was inside my head. And I thought, maybe my frequency is matching some radio waves going through the air or something. Then, through my third eye, I saw some faces and some profiles. With one had a real big nose. It was a profile. And then faces head on, and then hands waving to me. And so I thought, oh, my God, I'm seeing through the third eye, seeing some spirits or guides trying to say hello.
Was it Nigel? And was it Nigel waving at you?
So I thought, wow, he's really helping me out already here, opening up. So you know, things like that. So I continue to open up, and I do some angel readings now, too, for people. And, yeah, it's just a continuation, and it's so much fun. It's so magical. And sometimes when I hear myself, like, hearing myself say that story, I used to listen to people saying things like that, thinking they were absolutely nuts.
No, and you know what? I want to say, it's refreshing that you can speak in that language. And yes, some people listening in the car might go, wait a minute, what? She's talking about astral traveling? But here's the deal. I mean, we're not going to be able to certify anybody in crystals in this conversation, but you can enlighten the listener on what the different energies are in certain rocks, because energy is in everything. And like you said, that skull had different kinds of energy, right? There was a certain kind of crystal. crystal and then the agate. So if you wouldn't mind rolling through a few basics for crystal energy for our listeners to understand, so the next time they're in a rock shop or in a spiritual store, they could go with the one that they're drawn to and then know what that stone can do for them, because there's incredible benefits to having the right stone in your possession at the right time.
Yes, I have so many. As a matchmaker, I like to use a lot of rose quartz for the heart chakra and opening that up. It's beautiful. If people are just like they don't know, you could always go with a clear quartz crystal, which you can program, and that balances all the chakras. Mm-hmm. And you can program that and meditate with it to help you with your psychic abilities. I really love, probably my favorite is moldavite, which is an extraterrestrial stone. It's a little expensive, so I have one that's maybe an inch or two big that was like $65. It's kind of expensive because it's a limited amount. It came 15 million years ago from an asteroid that hit the Earth around the Czech Republic area, and I think it was in the Moldau Valley or something. That's why they call it moldavite. And so it really helps you open up your crown chakra and connect with the ETs and the higher frequencies, and it's a powerful stone. So I love that. I'm wearing that now. And when you wear that, you can, like, negative entities and negativity can't get in your field. And one of my favorite go-tos is black tourmaline. I have black tourmaline next to my computer, next to my TV. It's great to wear. It actually prevents negative thoughts or psychic attack from people, and it also absorbs the electromagnetic pollution from electronics.
I was going to say, right now we're in Mercury's in retrograde, and for those who don't know what that is, can you please explain what happens? It happens a few times a year for a few weeks at a time, and all of our communication, because the planet Mercury is completely, you know, in retrograde, it's flipped, it seems to make communication go wonky, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not that. I still don't really get it that much. Mm-hmm. What is Mercury? You know, it's okay. So you can just Google it. But
for you personally, do you notice that when it is in retrograde, that your communications are just like?
I really don't. People say, "Oh my God, Mercury retrograde! Everything's going wonky," and nothing. I've never noticed it except this time. It's something weird happened. I had two. You know how they, if you make a chart, you charge something, and then you'll get this email saying, "Do you recognize this charge? Is everything okay?" And then you click. Well, two people, I guess, said no, they don't recognize it. So I'm getting these letters with possible chargebacks, and one's a very expensive client, and I'm freaking out, and my partners are freaking out, and we're calling the bank and writing letters, and then the fires and all this stuff is just so weird. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just a weird, wonky, weird. Yesterday was really weird. And I thought, well, maybe I'm getting hit with Mercury retrograde, but usually I really don't notice anything. And they say, don't travel, don't do this, don't do that.
Right.
But no. I don't pay much attention to it.
We also can't stop living our life just because something's happening in the planets. You know, you mentioned the full moon. What have you noticed with the planets in the moon's regard? For all the work you've done and all the certifications, you know, what can people do during a full moon or like the winter solstice that's coming up? Is there any important things that people need to, you know, end something and start something fresh? Or, you know, what are some of your belief systems in that regard?
Yeah, I love working with the moon, and I'm born on a Monday, which is the moon under the moon sign. So I just found that out the other, you know, I was reading about it. If you're born on a Monday, you're under the moon, and I thought, oh, that's so great, because I've always loved looking at the moon and just knowing that energy, that it's because we are mostly water, our body's mostly water. I never could understand, like, how can women, if they're all in a dorm room living together, their menstrual cycle starts going the same, and how this happens and that. And my mom used to work in retail, and she said on a full moon, all the loonies would come out. And,
right.
You know, loony comes from loon, la lune, the moon, you know, the word moon, lunar. So it does have a big effect on us energetically, and it is a good time. You could put your crystals out in the full moon when the moon is there's a new moon, which means the moon, you can't see it, so there's a new moon, and that's a good time for manifesting and bringing new things. You could do a little ritual with that. the full moon, you can do some manifesting rituals, or you can always just get a book on it or look up Google, like different rituals for different phases of the moon. And I have an app. I love checking the weather. I like to see what's the weather in Seattle today, what's it going to be here, what's it, and then at the bottom of it, it tells the phases, you know, where the moon is, if it's going to be full soon. And
nice.
So the moon's pretty cool. It's a pretty powerful rock up there.
You know, you mentioned clearing the skull stone with sage. Why is it important to clear a stone for those who don't know?
Yes. If you purchase a stone, you do want to clear it because other people have been touching it or working with it. So it has other energies on it. And you just can take some incense or some Palo Santo or some sage and burn it and let the smoke permeate it for a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. You could also run it under cold water. You have to make sure that that stone that you have is you can put in water because certain stones like selenite would melt. It's too fragile, but like quartz crystal is fine. You can Google that too and see which stones you can do that. You could run it in water. You could put it in the earth. There are different ways to put it in sand. The fastest way is just I like to sage it, or you can blow on it, and visualize all of the energy leaving and dissipating it, so that it's clear, and then you can program it, which you can hold it and put your desires, whatever you want to work. So I might say, you know, Nigel, I want you to work with me on opening up my psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. I thank you. Do your own little ritual for programming your crystal. And if somebody else touches it and handles it, you want to clear it again.
Right. And that's important. It's like clearing a space in a room. I mean, I don't think enough people realize, and you talked about the certain stone that can keep negative entities and energies away. When you walk into a room and it hasn't been cleared, really sensitive people feel it. And sometimes they're tired and they don't know why. And sometimes they're crabby and they don't know why. But there could be an entire party of energies in a room that people aren't aware of it if it's never been cleared.
It can, and people who've argued maybe in a house or whatever's going on there, you want to clear it. So I do like to clear my house. You could clear it with sage. You could take a drum and beat the drum all through the house or with a rattle or a singing bowl. Will break up the energy as well. And you could sage yourself, clear yourself.
Right.
Which is always good, especially after if you're doing some healing work on people, you want to sage yourself.
Right. That's important work to note. If you're around negative people, the sage or the Palo Santo, I just had a kind of disagreement with somebody who says that she doesn't believe in hexes or curses, but she believes in negative energy. Negative energy is real, but I believe there are people who use their powers for the wrong reasons, and that could be a hex. What's your belief system on that?
Oh, sure. I know people could be using like black magic and sending curses and hexes. And there are, I know, and I agree with you about that. There was that wonderful British woman that said she didn't believe in negative energies.
Mavis Patillo. Yeah.
Mavis. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was listening to her and I was like, oh, what a cool lady. It was great. And then she was saying there aren't any, and then you were like, oh, I think there might be, and I was like, yes, because I had low-level attachments that I had to have removed. Mm-hmm. So I've had them in my house. I've had them in my body.
Right.
And I've had people come to me, and it's a common thing. They will come to me or email me and say, what can I do? I know I have some negative low-energy attachments. How can I get rid of them? And you see the people out on the freeways getting mad or standing in lines at the bank or the anger all over. And so I can't, you know, say that there aren't any. I'm sure a lot of these people have some low-level hitchhikers on, especially if people are drinking alcohol, using drugs, eating a lot of junk food, or watching horror films, or watching.
No, it's true.
The negative things on TV or.
People have nightmares for a reason, because they're opening that fear-based, it's like the wiring system of fear is turned on, right? And the fear creates more fear. And if you're in fear, then the negative energies are excited, because then they have a playing ground. you know, and it's right. like, okay, so let's go, let's dance, let's do this. And people don't realize that. And it's like, they're just looking for an audience. And so that's one of the things I'm not a fan of Ouija boards, because I've been told by many healers that it's just a way of attracting those lost spirits that are looking for an audience. But I know, you know, you've had experiences, other people have had experiences where maybe they aren't all bad. And then, of course, you manage to get your messages, you know, you're channeling everything. It was so much fun to listen to you write a poem with Edgar Allan Poe. But, you know, what do you recommend that people do to try to get those messages in the safest way possible?
Yeah, I am a fan of the board. I love it. I've never had a bad experience. And I know I listen to, you know, all of your podcasts. I love them. And many times your guests and you would talk about that, you know, that's not a good option. But the thing is, so this board, it's just the alphabet. I can write the alphabet on a piece of paper, on a sure. paperback, mm-hmm. and it will work. It's interesting to me how, so people are using different modalities, so it's perfectly fine to use a pendulum or candle magic or crystals or a scrying mirror or, there's probably a dozen different ways to connect with spirit, but this poor little board of these papers with the alphabet is a porto to hell.
Actually, I don't believe the pendulum. Honestly, I had a discussion. The pendulum is also another. It's like a dark spirit can come and kick it and try to, you know, it's like any time. I'm like, okay, what on earth can we use, right? Okay, you're saying you got to wash the crystals, then we got to sage the crystals, then we got to palo santo the crystals. But I know what you're saying. We have to, because we have to clear the energy off of the rock, like we have to clear it out of the room. But sometimes I get so caught up in the, wait a minute, did I bring the right cleaner or did I do the right intention, that sometimes I just want to plop on the couch and give up. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is people automatically go to the fear and right. the negativity. So I'll get asked a lot, well, how do you know it's not, how do you really know you're talking to an angel? It could be a demon tricking you. And I get that a lot. You don't be fooled. And I said, well, I mean, I've been talking to my angel for 4 years, and she always tells me, take care of yourself. I love you. God loves you.
Right.
I said, and well, why would they do that? They said, well, because she's trying to just trick you so that then you won't realize it when they take you over or attack you. And so I'm like, well, it's really, you know, the history of the board was very popular in the 1800s when the spiritualism was so popular, right? So
of course, yes. In fact, during the time of Abraham Lincoln, it's believed one person in every household was a spiritualist, because it was, you know,
even Mary Todd Lincoln, the right. wife of the president, conducted seances in the house with
right.
after their 11-year-old son died of a fever in 1862. And during the Civil War, mm-hmm. It really gained people who were so desperate to connect with their loved ones who'd gone away to war and never came home. Also, the Fox sisters in 1848 came into fame. Mm-hmm. They were receiving messages from spirits who rapped on the walls, answering questions and different things. So it was very harmless. But what happened was then at the turn of the century, it became patented. And then it was sold, the game companies mm-hmm. who had it. And then what really was the downfall here was in 1973 when The Exorcist came out.
Yeah.
And everyone, that's really what put fear in it, because before that people were not afraid of it. So I think the board's got a bad rap because of that. And you know, I've had people say, oh, I wouldn't touch it because when I was 12, I used one and something flew across the room. Or usually when people say they've had a bad experience, it's because they don't know what they're doing. They're just playing around. They're
right.
going to open this communication mm-hmm. with maybe they're joking or they're drinking or they're scoffing or they... So it is a tool that you should be respected, and you can protect your space. Call in Archangel Michael, please protect the space, and let those angels, spirits, guides only of the light come to communicate with me, and thank them. And when you're talking on the board, you say goodbye. These are people too.
Right. And you know what? I'm really glad you brought this up, Marla, because it is true. If used responsibly in the light, right, and for good with that intention, anything can be valuable and helpful. And so I'm really glad you brought that up because I have been giving it a bad rap, giving it that fear label because of so many people telling me, oh, don't do that. That's a portal to the negative, you know, and maybe that is their reality. And in their experience, that's what happened. But it doesn't have to be everybody's reality.
Right. And I'm not saying that people haven't had that experience, but I get surprised because I do have a lot of friends who love the board, mm-hmm. and I'm in groups on Facebook who love the board, and we have a lot of great conversations, and we love the different looks of them, and we'll buy different angel boards and talking boards, and, you know, they have different designs, and they're a lot of fun. Yeah. It's funny because, like, if I leave my board out in my office, my husband might say, put that away, don't leave that. And I said, I can't believe you're afraid of a piece of cardboard with the alphabet on it. It's just sitting there. It's not going to bring in anything. It's not the board. That's just an inanimate object. Right. It's you, the person that is making this communication, raising your vibration. So you can do that. I could just sit here with nothing and call in the devil if I wanted. And, you know, I don't need a piece of cardboard to do it.
Right.
Or do it.
Let's not do that today.
Because I've had such fun and got great, I just have such profound communications with mm-hmm. my guides and angels, my two main angels and guides. I do really love it, but I think it's got a bad rap, and mm-hmm. people should maybe take a look at it and see why are they so fearful.
Exactly. No, that's a really great point. And I also want to ask you about your theories on manifestation. I've had a couple of different conversations with people like Carolyn Mace, for example, says she thinks that when people try to manifest things, you know, who's to say that you're supposed to have abundance? Maybe this lifetime is supposed to be about suffering because the last one was abundant and we have to balance it out. We have no idea what our path is and what our trajectory will be based on our highest good and our learning in this soul, right? In this incarnation. And then on the flip side of that, I interview someone like Gail Thackray, who says that it's all about, she believes everyone deserves abundance and that we can have it if we just switch on the right tool. So what is your thought on the manifestation ride?
Right. It's interesting because my mom feeds the homeless twice a week up in Seattle. She's been doing it for 8 years in two different churches. And I go with her whenever I'm up there. So I've been going for 8 years and I meet all of these people, and they come in for their meal, and I'll sit with them, and I've become friends, really good friends with a couple of them who I just adore. And I see their struggle, and they're living in the woods, and they're maybe on a lot of them are on drugs,
sure.
alcohol. They're in and out of the hospital. They've got more problems. It's just so sad because it's freezing up there in the winter, and it's damp, and my mom's scrambling to get tents and sleeping bags and this and that. And I talk to some of these people, and I think it's such a sad and tragic life. They're not going to, a lot of them are not, a couple, we lost a couple recently died. A lot of them are never going to get out of this, mm-hmm. whatever they're doing. So I think, is this there? And then you see so many homeless. I'm in Los Angeles. We've got a homeless problem in this country like crazy.
Oh, sure.
And I think about we don't want to lower our vibration by feeling so, you know, you could just cry all day for all these people that are going through all this. Now, are they playing out their karma? We don't know their path. Why are they in this such a dire situation? So many, probably millions of people. We can't help everybody. We try. And I think that, in a way, our past life or our lessons are putting us in the position, the family, that when we hear a lot of psychics or intuitive people say we choose the family that we're coming into. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody's chosen a family that were abusing them or drug addicts, so they never had a chance, or in a bad neighborhood. And then there's other people who pull themselves out or are born in privilege, or just like us, maybe regular middle-class people who are doing what we love and we're so blessed to be able to manifest things. So it's very interesting, the human experience, and I think anybody who tries and who learns these principles can do it. But some people, maybe they're just too far gone. They're on this path that mm-hmm. we don't know why, how they got there, what's going to go, how it's going to go.
Well, what about for the regular Joe, the regular person, or for you, for Neil? What do we do about manifestation? What if things are not coming in and we do the visualization and we have the affirmations and all these things are just not coming out the way we hope, but maybe that's part of the path too? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think a lot of the main thing is our vibration. So when we have, and it's manifesting soulmates too. So let's say a woman's constantly saying, oh, all the good guys are taken, or they're either married or gay, I can't find anybody, I can't. And you're staying in this complaining and low vibration, and you don't, and the person doesn't attract anybody, doesn't find anybody, or keeps attracting the same kind of person that was maybe verbally abusive or whatever. So it's our vibration. We can try too much. We can be put a desperate energy out. Sometimes a woman or a man will say, I'm going to meet somebody, like they're going out, looking around, their head swirling around towards the door. Did my soulmate just walk in? And it, everything's so desperate. So sometimes when we're in maybe lack, where we want to create some more abundance, our vibration's actually low because we are so on it. We're thinking about it too much, and we're actually thinking of lack, like I don't have and I need. So that's really putting out to the universe. So that's all it hears is lack and I don't have. So we've got to switch it around and raise our vibration, which meditation can raise your vibration, jumping on a trampoline, eating clean foods, hugging a puppy or a kitten, whatever you can do to get your, like Abraham Hicks, you know, when you hear them channel, they'll say, for 16 seconds, get your vibration high by doing something that you're so happy and that you love, and that will raise it, and then you can attract.
Exactly.
Things. And I,
Well, for those of us who can't see or feel energy, which is most of us, right? We don't realize that what we're putting out is a radio signal with our thoughts. And for the universe or for the energies out there, it's reading our wish list or our inner monologue, if you will, right? So if your inner monologue is everything sucks, everything sucks, everything sucks, then it's just going to match. Oh, okay, this person needs everything to suck because that's what's coming out of their inner monologue. So we better make this suck. And that's literally how simple it is. It's like attracts like. So if you're walking through, I mean, this is one little thing I've started doing when it's cold here in Chicago. Not for you, Marla, out in the West Coast, but for us here, it has hit winter and we're bundled up. And so when you're huddled and you can often go to that, oh, I hate this cold kind of place. And so when I walk, I'm like, love, light, thank you, blessings. You know, it's just like with every step, I think of a positive word to say. And that actually helps relax my body. It actually puts a smile on my face. When you're walking and thinking this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, then it's not as great of a walk. It's just not.
Right. I mean, I remember when I lived in Chicago and I'd be waitressing down in the Loop and I'd walk. I lived in River North in the in the Artist Loft Tree Studios. And I would be walking across the bridge over the river, and it would be crisp and cold, and I'd look up at the sky. It was this cobalt blue, and there'd be stars and the moon, and I'd just stand there. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you. This is so beautiful and so great. And to appreciate, because often we will complain, like, I hate the weather. Well, here and now, I'd prefer to be in Chicago. I'd take a 20-degree day over an 85-degree day any day. So when it gets, I'm in the valley now here in L.A., it gets 100 degrees, over 100 now in the summers, and I'm like, ah, it's like hell. So I try and say, nope, calm down, there's nothing you can do about it, enjoy it. Think of it as a cleansing, a burning off of old energy in the heat. And I try to turn it around and appreciate, because what's complaining going to do? And whenever I say, I love Chicago, I love living there, all I ever hear, oh, it's so cold, it's a great city, but it's so cold. We do tend to complain. The weather is a big topic of discussion for Americans, I find.
It is. Well, no kidding. Well, thank you for that visualization of burning off, because it is sort of like the fog burning off with the sun when the sun rises. So you can think of anything like extreme heat or extreme cold, just kind of burning off the residual that you don't need anymore in your energy field. And you can get that out of the way and get the path clear so there aren't any blocks. For those people who are listening who might be curious about your matchmaking, do you find, Marla, that some people are really feeling like they're not complete unless they have another? Is that a through line that you find a lot? And is it part of what you do in your work with opening people up spiritually, letting them know that actually when you are feeling pretty okay within your shell, you're going to attract the right partner?
Yes, I do. My tagline on my website, MarlaMartinson.com, is love yourself, love your life.
Yes.
You have to, if you don't love yourself, it sounds so cliche, but how is someone else going to love you? So you, for example, if a single person has this long list, which I'll see, oh, he's got to be 6 feet tall. He's got to make $1 million a year. He's got to drive this car. He's got to live on the west side. He's got to da 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 da. And then are you in debt? Are you out of shape? Are you, you know, why are they going to want you? So we've got to love ourselves, be happy in our body, mm-hmm. be happy with our finances, be happy with what we're doing, with our job. I've had men tell me, Marla, can't you just find me a woman who's happy with her life?
Right.
Because often a woman will show up to the date and use it as a therapy session. And I hear it a lot. And so, yes, if you should first be very happy with your life, and then that person is going to, you're going to shine. People want to be around you. Wow, she's so fun to be around. Her energy, she's exuding. I want to be around her. You're going to attract somebody really great, and then they're going to want to be with you. It'll work out better. Otherwise, if you're in that loop, you'll just keep attracting duds, or, you know, women who say, oh, I keep attracting losers, or I don't like to call anybody a loser, but you know what I mean, not up to their standard of what mm-hmm. they're looking for. I definitely think if someone's single, I remember doing this myself, thinking, okay, I'm single now, I should enjoy every minute. I can decorate the way I want. I can do what I can, leave dishes in the sink. I could throw this. I remember I was sitting on my couch and I was watching TV and I was eating a banana, and I said, I'm single, I could throw this banana peel across the room if I wanted to. And I did it. I threw the banana peel across the room. And just the fact that when you do get married or you're living with somebody in a relationship, there are compromises.
Mm-hmm.
I can't leave my Ouija board sitting out and, you know.
There you go.
I got to turn it around the other way. The dog is not allowed in the bedroom because my husband has allergies. If I was single, she'd be sleeping in the bed with me. There are things that you're not going to be able to do. There are joys and great things to each stage of your life, whether you're single or with someone. So enjoy wherever you happen to be. And to having somebody in your life does not mean that you're going to be, it's going to be happily ever after. It could be, but people, we tend to look at the divorce rate in this country. Look at all the problems. Look at all the counseling sessions. Look at all the people who are unhappy in relationships trying to fix it.
That's right.
We got to fix ourselves first.
That's right. Self first isn't selfish. It's putting yourself first. It's putting your oxygen mask on before the plane goes down. You'll be a better spouse, a better employee, and all of the above, a better parent, a better child. Whatever it is, take care of yourself. MarlaMartinson.com, and this is how you spell it, everybody. MarlaMartinson.com. And if you want a good laugh that's also really enlightening, The Buddha Made Me Do It is what's in my hand. But you also are, you know, you've written a few books here. Wait, hold on. I want to get the list. Da, 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 da. Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker, Hearts on the Line, Amateur Night. You're just a riot, and I love your videos too. And I think that what you have is this wonderful gift of being enlightening and humorous, which I like to think, I can't believe we haven't met in person, because I think we'd have a grand old time.
I know, and we connected in 2008 when we both were with the same publishing company, and then I lived in Chicago too before, so I hope we'll meet one day. I'm in LA when you're here.
Absolutely. Yes, I hope all good things come with the fires and all the chaos that's going on there right now as we speak. Let's just hope that all of that, the ship rights itself, and everybody's okay, and we'll continue the dialogue, because I have a feeling we have many more conversations to have.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so grateful. Keep doing what you do, and everybody out there listening, just treat others the way you'd like to be treated. And I'm at jenweigel.com, JenWeigel.com. Stay spiritual, everybody.